Well, today is the last part of our four-week series on the Word alone. Been our emphasis throughout this year here at church. As Lutherans, it's good to focus on the Word alone. That was one of the foundations of the Lutheran Reformation, that every doctrine that we teach, every article of faith as Lutherans isn't judged off of some pope or council or even tradition of man. It's judged solely on the Word of God alone. And that this word norms our entire lives. And that word is a living and mighty and active word. And I pray that it continues to form you every day that you come here to church. Because the word of the Lord, it endures forever. It doesn't return void. It accomplishes the purposes for which the Lord sends it out. Today, to be created by the word alone. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. King Ahaz and Joseph, two men who show up in our readings today who are put in some precarious positions. They got to make some tough decisions. And they both receive the same word from God. It's almost like they're going, what to do, what to do, what to do. We don't know too much about these men. King Ahaz, we know he's an Old Testament guy, that he's the king of Judah in about the 730s B.C., and the scriptures tell us that he was a bad king, that he didn't do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. But he's put in a tough situation in terms of war strategy, which we'll get to more on that later. Now, Joseph, New Testament guy, from the line of David, he marries a woman by the name of Mary. And while they're betrothed to one another, she's found to be pregnant, which is never a good thing, especially in this honor-shame culture before marriage. They're wondering what to do. The king, Ahaz, and Joseph, two entirely different men who face two entirely different situations, who come up with two entirely different plans that result in two entirely different outcomes, but they both receive the same word from God. We don't know too much about them, but we are just like them every day. King Ahaz, he was in a tough spot. He was the king of Judah. And there was a powerhouse nation called Assyria who was sweeping over the land. They had taken countries in the south. They were taking countries in the north and along the coastland. And they had their eyes left on these three little countries, Syria, Israel, and Judah left. Well, the two countries, Syria and Israel, had formed a coalition. And they thought together with Judah, those three could handle mighty Assyria. And King Ahaz is stuck in the middle. Do you side with the coalition and make it three against one, or do you side with mighty powerhouse Assyria? Well, he starts sending gold and silver to the king in Assyria. So you kind of know where his loyalties lay. He kind of made up his mind. Well, the coalition didn't like that too much, so they decided to wage war against King Ahaz so that they can get their own king elected who will join their coalition. And it's in the midst of this that King Ahaz is preparing for battle where the word from God comes to him through the mouth of a prophet, Isaiah. He says, "Go out and meet King Ahaz and say to him, 'Be careful, be quiet, don't fear, and let your heart not grow faint about these countries devising evil against you. They will not stand. Their plans will fail. Stand firm in the faith.'" Well, there's a third option now. Side with Assyria, side with the two countries, or do as the Lord says, be quiet, don't do anything, and trust in me, and I will deliver you. It's in the midst of this decision where our Old Testament reading picks up. Isaiah comes to King Ahaz again and again and again and again. The Lord says to King Ahaz, "Ask a sign from the Lord your God. Ask anything you want, as deep as Sheol or as high as the heavens above. The sky's the limit. Ask for anything you want to see from me, and you can trust in me that I will deliver you. You have nothing to fear. Do not fear Assyria or Syria or Israel. Don't fear. Ask anything you want. I'll do it for you." And King Ahaz says, "No. No, I'm not going to ask a sign." how often have you acted just like King Ahaz? God's word is so clear. It says to do one thing, and you say no. But we're a little bit more wise than that. You don't just outright say no to God. That would be foolishness. No, we, like King Ahaz, we drizzle some self-righteous excuse over the top of it. Oh, who am I to put the Lord to the test so that everyone else can see our decision and praise us for our strong faith when really it's just covering up our lack of faith? Rejecting God's sign, rejecting his word, is always a sign of a lack of faith. It should never be credited. It should never be appreciated. It should never be respected. Certainly should never be modeled. Most definitely should never be praised, no matter the excuse that we put on top of the surface. Because God says, ask for me a sign. King Ahaz, at the end of the day, still refuses that word. This is the path of death. When God's word so clearly says something and we say no. So the Lord gives him a sign anyways. One, a virgin will conceive and she'll bear a son and you'll call his name Emmanuel. And two, you're all going to die from the Assyrians. It's a path of death. That's exactly where it leads. If you read the rest of the story, King Ahaz, his sons, the whole entire country, they all end up dead. Because rejecting the Lord, the giver of life, always leads to death. We wither away slowly but surely, because a branch can't stay alive too long when it's cut off from the vine. Joseph, he's put in a tough spot too. Mary is found to be pregnant outside of marriage. He faces a tough decision, what to do. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolves to divorce her quietly. You already could see where his loyalties were laying. He decided that he would divorce her quietly, and just like King Ahaz, he makes up his mind, and just like King Ahaz, the word of God comes to Joseph, this by an angel of the Lord in a dream, who says to him, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Be quiet. Be careful. Don't fear. Don't let your heart grow faint to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Joseph woke up from his dream, and he could have done what King Ahaz did. No, I'm not going to do it. And he could have dribbled some really good self-righteous excuses on top. Far be it from me to publicly shame Mary like that. I'm a good man. I would want what's best for her. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And that word, when Joseph heard it, it created faith in him so that when he woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, he knew her not, until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the path of life. Hearing the word and doing what the word declares. After all, Joseph heard the word and he did it. Mary, who heard the word, she did it. And they give birth to this baby named Jesus, who will save his people from their sins, the very author of life, the creator of life, who lives a perfect life and dies on a cross and is raised from the grave so that all could find life in him, abundant life, eternal life. This is the path of life, to hear and to do what the word of God declares. And how many times have you done just that? Acted like Joseph, heard the word of God, and did it. How many times do you see that in the lives of Christians around you who are doing what the word of God declares? You see hands and feet created by God's word that are quick to serve others rather than constantly serving ourselves. You see hearts and minds that were created by God's word to be obedient to follow the Lord rather than following our own passions and being obedient to no one. We see tongues that were created by God's word to glorify his name, to praise him, rather than seeking to glorify ourselves and heaping all these good works up so that others could see us. As Paul writes, that this word, it's to bring about obedience of the faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, for you are called to be saints. That is what you are. Saints, called to a holy life in service to one another, selflessly loving others. So when we're faced with what to do? Well, do what the Lord has spoken. Follow his word. Be hearers of the word, but also doers. Not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well. For we are born so turned in on ourselves, pride full of unbelief and disobedient, selfish. We're always innately trying to turn everything into glorifying ourselves rather than glorify him. We follow our own plans and our own wisdoms. But the word endures forever and it goes forth and it turns us inside out and upside down so that we repent of our pride, so that we believe in his promises, so that we serve others selflessly and that we seek every way possible to glorify his name among the nations rather than ourselves. I wanted to end this series with Christ's own word in John. Jesus says that I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask a sign for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. For by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. You are his disciples. Bear fruit, and rest and rejoice in the fact that the fruit you bear doesn't come from you, it comes from the vine, the Lord, and his word that lives within you, pulses through your veins, and it's pruning you, forming you, and molding you day by day, slowly but surely, and this word within you is life. It's the abundant life, and it's a word that will endure forever. Amen.